Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we continue our study of Tehillim and Kabbalah Shabbos, Chapter 97, another chapter focusing on Messianic times. Radak introduces this chapter with a wistful and poignant thought. Hirba be'ela ha'mizmorim b'zeh ha'inyan, l'chazek libos b'nei Adam, Hanoashim min hagu'ula begalos. Tehillim gave us many of these gifts of songs in order to strengthen our hearts that have abandoned all hope for salvation. The suffering, the confusion in exile is so difficult that we don't even daven to get out anymore. We think, what's the point? And despair and apathy kind of take over. In Egypt, God sent Moshe to tell Bnei Israel that Hashem will take them out of Egypt. Chapter 4, verse 31, describes their reaction. Vaya'amein ha'am, vayishmu ki pakar Hashem es Bnei Israel, v'chira'a es anyam, vayikdu, vayishtachavu. They believed Hashem had remembered his nation and that he had seen their suffering. They bowed, and then they waited expectantly. The salvation is here. Hashem's Navi had spoken. But then, nothing happened. Actually, what did happen was that things actually got worse, much worse. The slavery intensified, and so did the suffering. And the disappointment, dashed hopes, were so much more painful than what they had already endured. And the elders, and the Jews, and even Moshe himself, all complained. What was the point of that? If it wasn't time yet, why give them the false hope only to smash it again? The answer, of course, is that the redemption would not, could not come until we davened for it, until we prayed for it, until we remembered that we wanted it, that we needed it, until we believed that this could happen, that we could be redeemed. Radak tells us that the function of these chapters is actually the same. We need to want it, ladies. We need to cry for it and dance for it and sing about it. Verse 1. Hashem malach tagel haaretz yismachu iyim rabim. Hashem is king. Let the earth exult, the many islands rejoice. Iyim. Rav Hirsch notes that iyim are far-flung islands, meaning the news and the joy will reach even there. Everyone, everywhere in this entire world will rejoice in the beautiful, ethical, and moral world of the future. Everyone? Verse 2 and 3 remind us that some will not be so happy. Verse 2, Anan va'arafel sibivav, tzedek u'mishpat mechon kis'o. Cloud and mist are around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Eish lefanav telech uslahit saviv tzarav. Verse 3. Fire goes before him and consumes his adversaries all around. The evil will be punished. The war of Gog u'Magog will happen. The road to messianic times will include punishment for the enemies, for the evil and cruelty and suffering that they caused. And Sfarno tells us that this chapter references that terrifying day of judgment spoken of in Sefer Yechezkel. But for those who suffered by the cruel hands of these enemies, it will feel different. Verse 4. Heiru brakav tevel ra'asa v'tachel ha'aretz. His lightning bolts illuminate the world. The earth sees and trembles. Because just as the sounds of the American attacks on Germany in World War II meant salvation to the suffering concentration camp prisoners, when the evil get punished, their victims can finally feel relief. But more than that, Rav Hirsch teaches the darkness of the world is that there is injustice. The clarity of a just world, when the evil get punished, will be as bright as lightning and light up the world. Verse 5, Harim kadonag nomasu milifne Hashem milifne Adon kol haaret. Mountains melt like wax before Hashem, before the master of all the earth. In fact, these harim, these mountains, according to Radak, are the evil kings that will finally melt. Verse 6, Higidu hashamayim tzidko v'ra'u kol ha'amim kivodo. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Now that we have finally taken off our blinders and our earplugs, now that the entire nation is listening, we can all hear that all along the heavens are not filled with gods. The heavens have been proclaiming Hashem's righteousness all along. And we can now see the world as Hashem's canvas. And verse 7, Yevoshu kol ovdei pesel hamishalalim ba'elilim, hishtachavu lo kol Elohim. All the idol worshippers are humiliated. Those who pride themselves with false gods, bow to him, all you gods. Last chapter, Tehillim, seemed to focus on what this world transformation, this utopia, how it will be experienced by the natural world, but more, how it will be experienced by the nations of the world and the happiness that it will bring to the entire mankind. But this chapter returns to Hashem's nation. Now that we are not the only ones singing, now that we have reached this place, how does Bnei Yisrael experience this paradise? Verse 8, Shama v'tismach tzion v'tagelna b'nos Yehuda lema'an mishpatecha Hashem. Tzion hears it and rejoices. The towns and villages of Yehuda exult because of your judgments, Hashem. How will we feel? We will be thrilled. And Rav Hirsch notes, we will be happiest because of the mishpat, because of the justice, the ethical world we will live in. Finally, when all of the prophecies come true, and Hashem's word is the word not only for us, but for all mankind, can you imagine the joy that we will experience at that moment? And this joy will go much further than validation and vindication. Of course, the other people will enjoy the beauty of a world of goodness, but we who waited longest for this world, we who stayed faithful to Hashem's ideals of the truth and goodness all this time, we who never forgot him and his Torah, we will rejoice the loudest. Verse 9, Ki ata Hashem Elyon al kol haaretz, me'od na'aleisa al kol Elohim. For you, Hashem, are supreme above all the earth. You are exalted high, far above all powers. Because when Hashem is clearly in charge of the world, then the world is in harmony and good prospers. So with that premise, Sforno looks at the next verse, verse 10. Ohave Hashem, sin ura, shomer nafshos chasidav miad v'sha'im yatzilem. O lovers of Hashem, hate evil. He who guards the lives of his devout ones, he rescues them from the hand of the wicked. If we are waiting for Mashiach to find a world of justice, then we should be standing up to injustice today, to hate evil and deceit and cruelty and not be afraid to say so. Because while we wait for a world where everyone will recognize and stand for truth, while we wait for a chorus of voices declaring their commitment to living with honesty and goodness, until we get there, we, Hashem's ambassadors and Hashem's children, need to be that voice, even if it sometimes means singing solo. Verse 11, Or zarua latzadik uliyishri leiv simcha, light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright of heart. Rav Hirsch says that Tehillim defines here the reality of a tzaddik's life as or zerua, a life that is planted, invested. And just like a farmer plants and waters and weeds and tends, but reaps the harvest months later, the work of the tzaddik is down here, and his reward is yet to come. Of course, we know that is true in life. The light that we have is planted deep in the ground, deep in the dark, and deep in our hearts, beneath the surface. The work happens first, and it happens deep, and it only blossoms much later. So where is this light, this Orzarua planted? The Malbim says it is planted within us, ready to grow if we water it, if we guard it and work on it. The light will shine, and it will shine within us. It will light up our way, our life. It will guide us and lead us and grow us, and it will light up the world of all who know us, who will be inspired, encouraged, and uplifted by our light as well. And therefore, the Malbim here sees the Tzaddik and the Yeshar as one person. Or Zarua la Tzaddik, v'yishre leiv simcha. Light is sown for the righteous, and joy for the upright of heart. What will bring the joy? Of course, it is the light. A heart that is lit up with this light of beauty, of goodness, is of course a happy heart as well. It's a wonderful thought and adds meaning to the tradition to begin our Yom Kippur liturgy with this verse, Or Zarua la Tzaddik uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. What better way to begin this day of purity, teshuvah, and growth than with a reminder that every single one of us has a light that is planted deep within us. Invest in it and let it grow and light up your way. The Gemara says about this verse, not everyone merits light and not everyone merits joy. The tzaddik receives light and the yeshar receives joy. Malbim back in chapter 33 discusses the difference between a tzaddik and a yeshar. A tzaddik does the right thing. He struggles sometimes with his beliefs, and he struggles sometimes with his desires, his triggers. He has weaknesses and weak moments, but he struggles and he wins. His actions are pure, although his heart is sometimes turmoiled. It's not so easy to be a tzaddik, and he feels it. What is a yashar? Yashar means straight, smooth, harmonious, and peaceful. That is someone who has reached even a higher level than the tzaddik. He does right and it's easy for him. He wants to. Every part of him is on board. It's nice to be a yeshar, and there is a joy, a consonance and an inner symphony. We are all on the same page, body and soul together. But do not ever underestimate the power of the light of the tzaddik, of the journeyer. Often the struggle is not fun, and you wouldn't necessarily call it simcha. The struggle is messy and often unpleasant. It's not always fun to be a tzaddik, but Or Zarua la Tzaddik, do not fear. That light is planted, that light is huge, and ultimately the light belongs to the tzaddik. It is, of course, true, however, that we are not really talking about two people or even two types of people. Isn't it more correct to say that we have yeshar times and tzaddik times, that sometimes we struggle and it's difficult? But we discover tremendous strength and clarity within ourselves, bright lights. And sometimes we have yeshar times. We are lucky enough to be motivated to do great things. And even if, but for an hour, we kind of float above the struggle. And yes, of course, those moments are characterized by joy. Verse 12, Simchu tzadikim b'Hashem v'hodu l'zichar kacho. Be joyful, O righteous in Hashem, and give thanks at the mention of His holy. So now here, the tzaddik will raise himself to the level of joy as well. Joy in Hashem. The Alshech tells us that we are told to rejoice today, not in our glorious future, but right here in exile, and asks, how can we rejoice today if there is still so much suffering? His answer is heartbreaking, poignant, and beautiful. We can rejoice in Hashem. Chazal tell us that Hashem declared, as long as my children suffer, until my children finally come home, Hashem, as it were, will have no true joy. So we are moved actually by the connection we have today with Hashem. As we are in exile, the Shechina as well is not home. And that idea, how important our suffering is to Hashem, and the fact that we are so connected to Him, well, that brings us joy. So, our chapter that began with Hashem finally punishing the evil and bringing justice to the world, and the clarity it will bring, and the joy it will give to us, Hashem's ambassadors and Hashem's children. And then a reminder, if that is who we are, that should change the way we think about justice even today. And we talked about light, and we talked about joy, and we talked about the joy we will feel then, and the joy we can feel today. Again, putting this into the context of Shabbos, and beginning our day of Me'ein Olam Haba, a small piece of Olam Haba, a small taste of that glorious future, what better day of the week for us to do that exercise, to ask ourselves to be true ambassadors of the Torah of Hashem, to truly be that Kiddush Hashem today, and to grow that light, that neshama soul within. After all, on Shabbos, we have an extra portion. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishma Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara, Bas Chaim Leib.